Ramsey TV.
I'd like to thank Vanessa Gray again for allowing me to play that personal audio message she sent to me, and I appreciated your comments about that. I knew you would love it, and she is glad to be able to help the body of Christ, because we're all going through the same thing. Isn't it amazing? That's what happens when you have the mind of Christ. That's what happens when you have a common head. He operates through us and we help each other out. So today I want to talk about what I call the domino effect of Romans 8:30. Let me read it and then I'm going to comment on it. Three of these things are past. One of these things is future. As sure as the three past things are, the future thing is just as sure. Now, whom he designates beforehand, these he calls also. Whom he calls, these he justifies also. Now, whom he justifies, these he glorifies also. Here we go. The divine order to this, right? Designates beforehand, calls, justifies, glorifies. He's already designated us beforehand, before the disruption of the world. He can't get out of this call. And everyone who he designates beforehand, these he calls. That happens in this life. For us, it's a past tense thing. Whom he calls, these he justifies also. Well, we were already justified on the cross, and we came to a realization of it when the Spirit of God came on us, and we went, oh, I've been given the very righteousness of God. How could you possibly say that? Well, because it's in Romans chapter 3, 4, 5, 6. 7 and 8. So let's stop. Let's go to domino 2 here. Those he designates beforehand, these he calls. I've said this many times, but I have new viewers all the time. If you are designated beforehand, you'll be called sometime in your life. There's no such thing as being designated beforehand and not called. Well, how do you know, Martin? How do you know? Somebody could be designated beforehand, but not called because of this. Whom he designates beforehand, these he calls also. Fact. That's a fact. That's God speaking. Everyone who's designated beforehand will be called sometime in their life. So there's no such thing as somebody dying in ignorance of their calling. That's hard truth. But it's at times like these, you have to remember the salvation of all. And the excuse goes, really, well, these people, they're just ignorant members of the body of Christ. Well, you can be an ignorant member of the body of Christ up until the time you're called. That's true. But if you are designated beforehand, you will be called. And this is pre-glorification, so it's not like you're going to be called later. It's a calling in this life. This is why God is busy setting up evangelists and teachers, because they're the ones that bring the information to those who have been designated beforehand. Great passage in Acts. I'll put the reference here. You know, I think it's in probably Acts 13 somewhere. Those who, I'm going to go to it. It's just so good. Being bold, I'm in 46 of Acts 13. Being bold, both Paul and Barnabas say to the Jews, to you first was it necessary that the word of God be spoken. Yet since, in fact, you are thrusting it away and are judging yourselves not worthy of Aeonian life, lo, we are turning to the nations. The Acts 28 theory says that Paul doesn't turn to the nations until the end of his life when he's in a Roman prison. But this is Acts chapter 13. This is early in his ministry. He went to the nations from the jump, from the get-go. Verse 47, for thus the Lord has directed us, I have appointed thee for a light of the nations, for thee to be for salvation as far as the limits of the earth. Now on hearing this, the nations rejoiced and glorified the word of the Lord, and they believe whoever were set for life aeonian. There it is. That does away with free will. They believe. Who believed? Whoever exercised their free will, they believe? No. Whoever were set for life aeonian. What do you mean set? I don't know. Kind of sounds like designated beforehand. That's exactly what it is. Whoever were designated beforehand, they believed. Why? Because at some point they have to believe. How did they come to believe? Verse 46, being bold, both Paul and Barnabas say, to you first it was necessary that the word of God be spoken. It's the word of God being spoken. Verse 44, on the coming Sabbath, almost the entire city was gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a declaration of God. It's the old-fashioned way. God sends people out to broadcast it. That's what I do. That's what others do. We broadcast it and hope it falls upon fertile ears. But that's not our responsibility, whether it does or not. That's God's thing. He makes it happen. So, whom he designates beforehand, these he calls. Please note what the verse doesn't say. It doesn't say whom he designates beforehand. Some of these, he never gets around to calling. No, he does call if you're designated beforehand. It's not on the telephone. Maybe it might be on the telephone. You might hear the good news on a telephone. People ask me, but Martin, what about babies? I get this all the time. What about babies? I know, listen, I love babies. I had three babies. Well, the folks who ask this question, I don't think they really believe the verse. I guess the question would be, what about babies like who, God forbid, I mean, babies who like die? Babies who die as babies. Horrible thing. You know, I hate it. Look, if I were God, that would never happen. But I'm not God. God has a plan for all these babies. Aborted babies has a plan for them. They're not gone forever. I mean, my wife and I, our first kid was, you know, rejected early in the pregnancy. What do they call that? I don't know. It was a little embryo thing. I held it in my hand. I'm going to see that child later because I believe human life begins at conception. So that was a baby, and we buried it in the backyard. Was it a boy or a girl? I don't know, but I'm going to see it someday. So really, I have four kids. Yeah, it's going to be great. Think of all the aborted babies. They're going to live again. And they'll meet the people who aborted them. Ah, they'll meet the butchers. But God's going to take care of it. He's going to mend all the fences there. Don't worry about that. But I'm saying that none of these are lost forever. Not at all. So being called involves believing the truth. And no one can believe the truth unless someone is sent to them. And there's a divine influence known as, you know, the giving of the Spirit, which causes people to believe the truth. But my question to you is concerning babies. And I understand your concern. I'm sympathetic to this. Is that how can a new baby accept any kind of call by believing any kind of truth? See, you have to receive the truth. You have to be old enough to understand the truth. And I contend to you that that can be a very, very early age. So the kid can't even answer the telephone. You know, at age 3 months old, can't even answer the telephone. It's not going to answer, like respond to the evangel. At age two, I think kids can. So get busy teaching your kids. So if something happens to the baby was simply not designated beforehand to be in the body of Christ. That's it. It's just not a member of the body of Christ. Do you know how few members there are in the body of Christ? So you shouldn't be shocked about that. Everybody's saved. The baby's saved. The baby's concluded. And all, as an Adam, all are dying. Thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. But there are very, very few members of the body of Christ. We got to get this fact in our heads. We got to stop wrestling with it. It's few. It's not many. This call is a rare privilege. It's really absurdly rare. How rare is it? I don't know. Maybe about as rare as eight people making it onto the ark and everybody else in the world dying? Huh. Yeah. We say we know. We say that we know how rare this call is, but Then we wonder why more people aren't called. Well, it's those emotions and personal opinions that weigh on you. But your emotions are generally unintelligent. I don't mean to insult your emotions, but I'm insulting mine at the same time. You have to stop. I mean, I'm not saying you can't experience your emotions, but you can't let it interfere with the revelation of the Word of God. We have to go by Scripture. So any babies that die, including aborted babies cannot hear and respond to the evangel. Thus, they were not designated beforehand. If they were designated beforehand, they would live long enough to be called. I haven't even gotten to the third thing. Those who are called, these he justifies also. So the baby will enter life at the great white throne judgment, as most people will. And were the baby, again, designated beforehand, then it would have grown up enough to have been called to, by hearing the message and given the subsequent belief to accord with the call. So, yeah, the baby gets in. The baby will get eternal bliss just slightly later, along with the other 99.999999999 descendants of Adam. I mean, what's not to like? I mean, really, how can you complain about a baby entering eternal bliss slightly later than we get it? That, you know, at the great white throne, those whose names are written in the book of life, and why wouldn't the baby be written in the book of life? Hasn't done anything too evil in this life, I wouldn't say. Off you go to the new earth. Refresh yourself with the fruit that grows on the tree of life, producing fruit every month to sustain your life for the healing of the nations. That's right. And I know I've asked you this question before, but it's a good one. What's the difference really between a baby who can't believe because it's too young, therefore it was not designated beforehand, and an adult who can't believe? The adult can't believe not because it's too young to believe, but because the adult, just like the baby, wasn't designated beforehand. Every single two-month-old is an unbeliever. And millions and millions and millions of people aged 18 to 90 are unbelievers. Millions, billions. So unbelief is not the exclusive property of a two-month-old. Because an adult is just as unbelieving as a baby. You might say, well, the difference is the baby's young and the adult's old. And if the baby had been given time to grow, then the baby would have believed. No, that's not the issue. It's not the issue at all. The issue is, were you designated beforehand for membership in the body of Christ? That's the only issue. It really has nothing to do with age, because if the baby has been designated beforehand, then it will grow up long enough to hear the message, even at age two. Mama, Daddy, did Jesus die for me? Yes.
You mean I have to agree to it?
No. It was done for you, apart from you. You are justified in Christ before you're even born.
Oh, okay.
That's saving faith right there.
Did Jesus die?
Yes.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
There you go, saving faith right there. The Trinity doesn't F up the thinking of two-year-olds. Free will doesn't F up the thinking of two-year-olds. No, Johnny, Jesus came to save humanity from sin, and it worked.
Oh, that's great. Can I have some Cap'n Crunch?
No free will, no free will in there. Jesus died for 3 days. He was dead.
Oh, no.
Hey, why are you crying, kid? He wasn't really dead. No, none of that. See, Christians don't even cry about the death of Christ. They cry at his passion. They cry when he's dragging the cross. They cry when he's being beaten. But when he dies, oh, why would they cry? He's not really dead. He's up in heaven. If only they had a camera following him around during those 3 days when they thought he was preaching to the spirits in prison. He preached to those spirits in prison later. Read Peter. He gets into it big time. Talks about being vivified in spirit. Goes to, after he's vivified, he went there. Not when he was dead. You can't do anything while you're dead. Come on. So the only difference between a baby and an adult, there is no difference. Unbelief is unbelief. Not being called is not being I mean, not being designated beforehand is not being designated beforehand. So tomorrow I'll get into Dominoes 3 and 4, which is being justified and then being glorified. And I must thank our friend, Vanessa Gray, who touched on that glory yesterday. I really love that, seeing the colors of the rainbow, the lights, the spectrum of light. And our Lord appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus as a light brighter than the noonday sun. So I really like that. And I think God gave that to her, and she gave it to me, and I gave it to you. And so the glory is coming, and it's multi-hued. It's multi-dimensional. We can't even barely imagine it. But I suppose if you look at a rainbow, you're getting close.